Hello and welcome to Zack Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode 12, Liberal Arts from 2012. 12 from 12. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And this, last episode we introduced two new games. How do you think Zack will cry and how do you think Zack will get shirtless? And we took guesses, not knowing what this movie was.
We didn't even read anything about it, you remember? Like, we had no idea what this movie was.
Before and after. And we were,
way off.
Not only does he not get shirtless or cry in this movie, he was not at all the role that we expected him to be. Like, he's basically a cameo in this. Essentially, he's in, two scenes. Like, he's in a couple scenes the first time he shows up.
Yeah.
And then he's one more time. But you can watch all of the scenes for this movie on YouTube in, 8 minutes.
Yeah. He doesn't have a really big role in this one, for sure.
I don't want to keep saying this and make it seem like we're really biased, but when we were doing Shia or when we were doing Cage or Keanu and they're in a movie where they're not necessarily the star, they almost always are the best part of the movie. And Zack in this movie is the best part of this movie.
Hands down. He's the only part of watching this movie for. You said that you saw earlier when we were talking that there was a YouTube clip of just his clips in the movie. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend anybody just watch that.
The whole rest of the movie is kind of lame. It's about this older guy.
Ted Mosby.
How I Met Your Mother, right?
Ted Mosby, yeah.
And he goes back to his alma mater, which is actually the school where they shot it is the school that he actually went to, the actor went to.
What school is it?
Some tiny college in Ohio, I think.
Oh, weird.
It's also the school where Allison Janney, the old professor that he sleeps with at the end of the movie, where she went to.
That's Allison Janney in the movie?
Yeah.
That's Rachel's cousin.
Is it really?
Yeah, swear to God.
I don't know if I remembered that. I forget. What is she in?
Everything.
Has she met her?
Her mom has. I don't know if Rachel has or not. I'm not sure.
What did I just see her in that I really liked? Wasn't this.
Dude, she's in a lot of great things. She's in American Psycho. Allison Janney's in American Psycho. American Beauty. I mixed them up.
Maybe she was just on... Oh, I think she was just on an episode of Comedy Bang Bang. So she was just playing herself. Okay. So Liberal Arts, the school that they went, it's Kenyon College in Gambier, Ohio. And so that's where Josh Radnor and Allison Janney both went to school.
Allison Janney went there too? Damn.
So that's, I guess, the only cool thing about that. But it's the movie's about him returning to this school.
And he runs into... The first thing he runs into the dad from Step Brothers. So I was like, oh shit, this is gonna get awesome, and it doesn't.
He goes there because his Richard Jenkins, his old professor, his favorite professor or whatever, is retiring, and so he goes there to this party, and while he's there, falls in love with student life again, but more specifically, falls in love with Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, that's the Olsen younger sister?
Yep.
Oh, makes sense. She looks very Olsen-y. Now that you say that, when I heard the name, then I clicked. Okay, I want to talk about, can we quickly run through all the great cameos, and or should we go through them as we talk about the movie a little bit? I do want to talk about the movie.
You can mention cameos. Go ahead, because I don't know that we're starting from different places, because I don't think there's a lot of cameos in this movie. I think they're people you know from other things.
That's what I meant by cameos. I'm not meaning cameos.
I don't really recognize a lot of people in this movie.
The mom, the Olsen mom, she is a chick from House of Cards.
Is she?
At some point, she was in House of Cards.
Huh.
Check it out. I bet I'm right. Or she's in something that she plays like an evil, powerful woman. So you got her. You got the dad from Step Brothers. You got Ted Mosby. You got the other kid. The kid that he meets that reads the book that he likes. Like when he's a douchebag in the...
The kid who tries to kill himself?
Kid who tries to kill himself. That kid is the husband of the chick from Orange is the New Black. Did you know that one?
Like Piper's husband?
No. Not Piper's husband. The one with the goofy voice.
Oh, like the Jewish one? Is she Jewish in that show?
No, she's like Italian, but she has like a really high-pitched
her. But she's my favorite character. Why can't I... Lorna?
Yeah, they call her something else, though. They call her by a last name. So I forget her name.
What's her name? Lorna... I don't... Let's see here. Orange is the New Black.
Come on,
we are off to a rousing start here. What's her name?
You're just off tonight, man. You're usually on.
I know. Well, the problem was that I watched this a couple days ago, and I'm trying to think who they are. Morello.
Yes, he is Morello's husband in the show.
Okay. What is his name? Yeah, John Magaro. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Vince Muccio, the guy who
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who lives with his parents? Yes. Okay. Yes. That's definitely right. I'm still trying to figure out who the mom... No, she's on Scandal. She's not on Orange
okay.
Is the New Black.
Close enough. It's the same... it's the same premise.
Well, it's not the same... Well, because I've watched one and I haven't watched the other, so I was like, I don't know who you're talking about.
Scandal and Orange Is the New Black kind of blend together if you haven't seen them in a long time. I'm sure people would really hate me for saying that, but they do.
You mean Scandal and House of Cards, not Orange Is the New Black.
Yeah, Scandal and House of Cards. I'm all
because
over the place.
That, I think that's where I'm off, because I was so thrown off by, like, who's this woman from House of Cards? Okay, we're good. We're recentered. We're back on Zack Attack.
Okay, let's go through the movie. We're
good.
The fourth note that I have for this movie is Ted Mosby's going to bang this college student.
And he doesn't.
He doesn't, but they get very close.
She wants him to, and she says to him something like, you're not going to do it because you care for me and you
want to respect me.
And he's like, yeah, pretty much. And she's like, that sucks. And then that's it. They kiss, but that's it. Like, she... Oh, God, this is a very difficult moment.
And, as watching this, I have been in a similar situation where I was the same age as a girl, and she was like, yo, I just want to let you know. And I was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen, and just left. She cried. I never talked to her again. I feel very confident in that that was the right decision. But I had different reasoning, which was I'm a scumbag, and she was, like, a pretty nice girl, and I knew that this shouldn't have worked. So
well, there you go. So you saved her.
I saved her from herself, which I think was his ultimate goal. He was a better guy than I am, but at the same time, that was his goal.
Well, I don't really know what his goal is, because the whole movie is awkward and creepy, and arguably the creepiest thing that is in the movie, and they spend way too long on it, is he's sitting at his desk, and he's writing down ages, and he's like, when I'm 32, she was 16. When I'm 20, she was 4. Like, it's just, and then, you know, he eventually keeps getting older. He's like, when I'm 87, she'll be 71. He's like, I could live with that. But then he writes down when she was born, he was 16. And that basically solidifies, that seals the deal. I am not going to do this.
But then he goes and visits her anyways.
Well, she, I mean.
Do you know the rule of this, by the way? Do you know what the actual man rule is for this? Like, what's the youngest girl?
Half your age plus 7.
Exactly.
And so he was 16 years older. Yeah, 35. So she would have to be 24.
24 and a half.
And she's 19 in this.
Yeah, you're way off. That's not like, oh man, a little, we can round down. You know, like, yeah, she's way off. She's very young, dude. She even looks young.
I'm trying to think what the math would be where half your age plus 7 would equal, like, with a 16-year gap.
What are you trying to say?
Like, how old would he have to be, like, for this relationship to work? Like, if he's 50 and
so
she's 34,
equal,
that's fine.
So make it equal then... 19. Hold on, let me do the equation for you. X divided
by I'm just intentionally not writing
plus
it down.
7 equals 19. And let's get this solver.
This might be the first math we've ever done on any Cage Club Podcast Network show.
Okay. This is very exciting. We have to get Wolfram Alpha out here.
So if he was 50, she'd be 34, and that would be okay, because it'd be 25 to 32. It's basically 48, I think, because she would be 32, and half his age would be 24. Yeah, it's 46, maybe? 46. Yeah, 46 and 30. So he's got to wait basically 10 years. If he waits 10 years, this is okay.
Fair.
But that's a long time considering she's 20. So he has to wait like half of her life more for this to be okay. I don't think it's that off. I mean, it's definitely not okay, but she does seem mature.
Very mature, and he seems very immature, which they come to the point where they talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I feel like the movie wants you to be more creeped out, and it does.
I think feel like the movie wants you to be less creeped out, because it's like made for teenage girls, and we were just really creeped out because we're way closer to his age than we are to her age.
Is it made for teenage girls? Is that the? I don't know who this is for.
Yeah, this is a teenage girl movie. This is definitely not. Was it made for us?
No.
Definitely not. Was it made for older women? No, because, like, the older woman's, like, jaded and fucked and, like, really annoyed. And, so it's definitely made for teenage girls, dude.
I do wonder. I don't know. I honestly don't know that there's going to be another movie that we do that's made for us. I'm looking at the list of, like, what we're going to do from here on out. New Year's Eve is not for us. Charlie St. Cloud is not for us.
No.
17, again, is probably the closest to something for us. 3 High School Musical movies. Me and Orson Welles, maybe, but then Hairspray and then a bunch of things I don't know. It's me and Orson Welles and 17 again are our only hopes in the next... We have 15 movies left.
We're so
and
fucked.
None of them are... We're not the demographic for any of them, basically.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that coming into this. I hope we get more Zeph in them. Like, he held this together. He really did. They, like, he was fucking hilarious. He was, like, the nice comedic break in between, like, some really heavy moments in the movie. And, you know, I mean, as heavy as they can be about this dude almost statutorily raped this chick. Ted Mosey's out here chasing out 19-year-olds.
Yeah, he's only in 8 minutes. He's the best part of the movie. I just don't know. Like, he doesn't fit. I don't know if he's...
No,
I don't know that.
Because we're so used to seeing Zeph as like a jock that seeing Zeph as like
a hippie.
Yeah,
it's a completely new Zeph.
It's a completely new Zeph, yeah. But he played it well.
He's a hippie stoner Zeph.
But, I mean, he is a hippie stoner in real life, so.
That's true.
Zeph is the perfect blend of jock and stoner at the same time at all times. Yeah, he was awesome in it. It was really cool. I mean, we've seen him do drugs in other movies, you know, like Neighbors and shit. So, like, we've seen him, like, play fucked up, and he did a really good job of it. I really thought that, did you think the water was gonna be acid?
Which water?
When he hands Ted Mosby the water and said, like, stay hydrated, bro.
Oh.
And he takes the drink, and they, like, look at each other, and then he, like, rubs his head and, like, pats his chest. I really thought he was going to be like, have a good trip, and just, like, this movie was going to take a fun turn for a while.
I don't know. I don't think I thought that just because the movie was so boring up to that point that
boring
I didn't
and
see
serious,
it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it taking, like, a real turn. Like, I would have loved that. If this got real weird in the middle, that would have been great. But the movie has no interest in getting weird.
Yeah, I think it was just wishful thinking that I really wanted him to just, like, start tripping, go back, and the chick's like, did you take drugs? And he's like, yeah, woo! And then he's just, like, take care of him or something.
Well, if you remember back to the last episode, our prediction for what Zeph's role in this was going to be was going to be
swimmer.
Elizabeth Olsen's boyfriend. A swimmer. He finds her cheating on him with Ted Mosby.
So we were close. We were in the ballpark.
I don't remember what I read, but I felt like I read that she was dating someone. And so when that guy came up to her at the party, I was like, oh, this guy's a nothing. Like, he's not Zeph. Like, that's going to be not a problem. And then that's just, like, a guy. That's not... She's single. Like, she's single the entire movie.
Do you think she banged that guy that night?
If she did, she regrets it.
She definitely did.
You think so?
Yeah, dude. That's how teenage girls work, man.
Well, that's the whole thing, that she's a virgin, and that she wanted to lose it to Ted Mosby, and he's just said, no, I can't. I wonder if, like, if they had hung out a while longer? Like, is it just the fact, because I also don't really get a sense of how long this movie takes place. Like, is this, it could have been, like, over a couple days or a couple months? I have no idea.
Well, mail's kind of slow. I say it had to be about 6 weeks of them writing letters to each other, and then he goes to visit her.
Okay.
Problem was, is she shouldn't have tried to bang him the first time he came to visit her. Then this could have worked. They could have been married now.
But instead, she's with nobody, and he's with the book girl.
Yeah, poor the fucking librarian.
You know how I knew this movie was going to be a rough one from the very beginning?
Tell me. Lots of voiceovers, montages.
No, the opening credits, or the opening shot, or whatever you want to call it, was a Bible verse from Ecclesiastes, he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow.
Oh,
and that's such a heavy way to start this movie. This is on Netflix, by the way. If you want to watch this movie, it's on Netflix right now. As
hopefully it stays
this,
on by the time that this comes out on December 1st, so.
That's the first thing you see, and it's just like, oh, like, we're just going real heavy here with the Bible and about,
yeah,
you know, sad men and, you know, smart sad men. Just, no, I don't, ugh.
Dude, yeah, oh, fuck. So I had a problem with, where were all these, like, advanced, where was any advanced college chicks when I was in college? Because I always had to try to hook up with older ones that had already graduated, where, like, I could have settled for a chick my age if she was, like, you know.
If she was Elizabeth Olsen.
If she was Elizabeth Olsen, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they just probably weren't at the parties that you were at.
I was always with older chicks. That's right. Fair enough.
Always with older chicks, you're never going to find anybody your own age, just by definition.
Yeah, true, I guess. That makes sense.
There you go.
Yeah, it was my own fault. Dang. I mean, in a good way. In a bad way and a good way, but yeah. How would you feel going back to visit anyone in a college dorm right now?
Well, that's the thing, that I was thinking, once you graduate,
you're pretty much
beyond,
banished.
Like, well, I think that, you know, because, like, when I was a senior, my sister was a freshman, and so I wasn't really friends with her friends, but I could have visited her. Once you graduate, there's, like, a 3-year semi-grace period.
Not even.
Because in theory, if you're a senior, you could have freshman friends. You could still visit them. But, like, once the freshman class is gone, you ostensibly know no one unless you're meeting people while you're hanging. Like, but you don't want to be that person. You don't want to be the person.
You don't
want to
be the,
like,
dude that's meeting new freshmen at old freshmen's parties. Yeah, yeah, I get you. I am definitely not about that, like, stay in college forever life. I wanted to get the fuck out of there fast.
I haven't been back to my college in years, which is going to continue that way. I think I went back to visit my sister, help her, like, pick stuff up a couple times.
But that's a different thing. That's a different thing with, like, going to, like, visit someone at a school. And, like, I knew kids that used to do that, like, show up at, like, college parties and shit, and you'd be like, what the fuck are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
That's, you know what it is? It's once you hit 21. Like, once you hit 21, you're not welcome.
Well, I mean, you're
back.
21 in college.
Yeah.
I turned 21 in college. I turned 22 in college.
Yeah. Were you still living in the dorm then?
Yeah, well, my school was weird.
Okay,
my school
fair.
Was a liberal arts school, just like
oh,
this one.
Oh,
where it was all, it was the, it's the number one, I don't remember what they call it. It was some
stat
the
that they were the
liberal
number one
arts
of.
College in the Northeast or something.
Yeah. Number
but it was,
one liberal arts college in this county.
But it was pretty much, I would say 90% of students lived on campus.
Oh,
at least
wow.
90% of the people who weren't commuters, like, I guess that's by definition, but there were commuters from nearby, but then everybody else lived on campus. Like, I only knew one person who chose to, like, who wasn't from the area, who chose to, like, live off campus. Like, everybody else lived on campus. So I was there, everybody was there through your senior year.
Weird.
So everybody turned 22 in the dorms. But yeah, I never went back. I never, like, went to a party after I graduated. I was, that's just weird. Just move on.
I lived down the street from my school, and I never went back to a party, a college party, after I graduated. And I worked in my school. Like,
I don't want to say you have to grow up, but, like, you can do the same thing. Just do it with the people you graduated with. Don't go back, because it's a certain mentality of, I guess it's, like, stunted growth, really, right?
Yeah.
That this guy sort of, but what's frustrating is that this guy sort of seems like he has his life together, but maybe that's the thing, that he doesn't
well, he
actually
gets, like,
have his life
he gets,
together.
Like, divorced in the beginning, or broken up with or something.
The whole beginning is so weird. Like, it's, I think it feels like it's supposed to be funny, but there's no humor at all. And
yeah.
Then the icing on the cake is he goes to do his laundry and someone steals all his laundry.
And that's supposed to be, like, the comic relief of it, but that's also just annoying.
It's just depressing and it's not funny or entertaining. It's just, oh, this guy's got a really pathetic life. And that's all it sets up. But I feel like you could have done that more economically, like, quicker and with some kind of humor or some kind of entertainment. It's just, life is shitting on this guy over and over again. Do you get it yet?
Yeah, and I feel like that's the character he plays in fucking, what is it, How I Met Your Mother. He plays he's playing Ted Mosby in this movie, which is, like, hopeless romantic, everything goes wrong all the time, he's so intellectual, he can't find a woman that, like, matches his whimsy and enthusiasm. Like, he's just playing the same fucking character. That part got me a lot.
So I've never seen a minute of How I Met Your Mother.
The best part about it is Neil Patrick Harris playing, like, a huge womanizer every now and again. Ah ha ha! Every now and again.
I was like, why are you ah-ha-ha-ing? But I get it now.
Yeah.
Listen to Now and Again.
Listen to Now
Another
and Again.
Another podcast on our network.
Yeah, every once in a while you get Wayne Brady coming in being his super gay brother, and in real life, Neil Patrick Harris is really gay, so that's the best part about it. Yeah. If you chose to watch an episode, I would highly recommend watching an episode with Wayne Brady and Neil Patrick Harris. Just find one that Wayne Brady's in, and they're hilarious.
Well, because what's her name's in there? There's a woman in there that I really love. Who's the... Ooh, God. I don't know how I'm not pulling her name right
now. The redheaded one?
Kobe Smulders.
I don't know who that is.
The main girl, Robin.
Oh, Robin's hot.
Oh, and yeah, okay. Like, there's people in there, like, there's a laugh track on that show, right? Is there a laugh track?
I don't remember. I gave up on it because he never found this bitch after, like, 7 seasons. Like, chill out, dude. Like,
yes, there is a laugh track on that. I just can't deal with the laugh track.
Really?
I just can't
any
do it.
Show
yeah.
or just that
any
show?
Any show. I mean, those are not the shows that I'm predisposed to like. I'm not saying that I'm elitist, but there's, I don't know, like,
it's the twilight of television for Ted Mosby bitching about her reading Twilight in this movie. How I Met Your Mother is twilight of television.
That's fair.
It's, like, not good. People like it. It's probably, like, the worst TV you could ever have.
I just don't watch CBS because every show on CBS is for a demographic that's not me. It's all for families or people like my dad's age. You know, it's just it's a different demo. And so The Big Bang Theory is like the most popular comedy on TV, and I watched the first season. I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is
it's so mind-numbing, dude. No. I mean, like, I've watched a ton of The Big Bang Theory because it's just like so fucking stupid.
Well, that's the difference between you and me, and I think me and a lot of people. I just can't watch empty TV. I don't want to just sort of turn my brain off. If I'm watching something, I want to be watching something. I don't want to just have something on that just I don't have to think about. But I know people, like, genuinely love that show. I don't get it. And How I Met Your Mother, I feel, is probably a lot... I don't know if it's better. I'm just guessing here, because I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah, it's not much better. It's about the same thing.
Oh, boy. Anyway, Zeph in this movie has a hat. We didn't talk about the hat. He's got, like, a... sort of like a winter hat.
I did love the, like, druggy winter hat, even though it seems to be pretty warm out.
Yep.
That was an awesome part of the movie. We didn't talk about how great his fucking hippie shirts were in the movie. His shirt in the second time that he comes up was fucking amazing. It was like, did you see it? It's like this, like, what, Asian-inspired shirt.
I don't remember that shirt. I just remember that everything about him, it's a cliche, but it also works.
Yeah, he was, like, about to pull out a hacky sack at any given moment.
Yeah. Or just talking about, let's go smoke some hookah or something. Everything else about this movie is so bland. Like, the one thing that drives me more crazy about this than anything else is when they're at lunch, I think, the first time, Ted Mosby is meeting Elizabeth Olsen's family for some reason. She's like, oh, I'm an improv student. Like, let's talk about improv. And, like, they start doing a scene, like, pass me that orange juice or whatever. And the mom, like, can't handle it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the worst, most painful, sort of incorrect depiction of improv I've seen anywhere. It hurt me. It hurt my heart to watch that.
Yeah, you love improv.
I feel like the whole movie is like that. It's either like aliens trying to, like, you know, fit in and write about what we do, or it's somebody that, like, wrote something and, like, Google translated it into English from English. Yeah. Everything just got, like, a little bit off. Like, everything's like, oh yeah, that makes sense, but it's not a way that anybody talks about things.
Yeah, do you think they had, like, an older writer and they tried to, like, teen it up or something? I wonder. That's what I'm feeling now that you say that.
Whoa, hang on. There's a guy, so I'm looking at the, wait, oh, hold on. I didn't know this was written and directed by Ted Mosby. Did you know that?
No. Maybe that's why it sucks that. So bad. Oh, dude, Ted Mosby is definitely a pedophile then.
So here is...
Okay, we'll just skim over that.
Fine. No. We're gonna get back to that. I'm not going to ignore that. There's this other guy, Harold Manning, who has the credit for French adaptation of this film. But I'm looking at the movies he's done, and I guess he just writes it in French? Because he did In the Loop, which is by the guy who made Veep. He did Shame, which is that Michael Fassbender movie. He did this movie. He did On the Road, which is about the Beat Poets with Kristen Stewart. He did Obvious Child, the Jenny Slate movie.
Okay, so these are like comedic movies.
I don't know what he adapts. Like, I don't know what this guy does. He just has a writing credit for French adaptation. Like, is he...
Is that like a joke that they put in that somebody forgot to tell us?
Maybe. I have no idea. I don't know what any of this is. Bizarre. Anyway, okay, let's go back to how Ted Mosby wrote, directed, and starred in this movie. Like, this seems like it's a passion project, which means it's almost certainly based on something in his life, which is almost certainly that this is the way that he wished things went down, right? And that in reality, he probably went back and, like, slept with one of these 20-year-old students at his alma mater?
I hope not, man.
But what were you thinking when you said he's probably a pedophile?
You just got to write out your fucking sexual fantasies.
I wonder, like, who gave him money to make this?
You nailed it. That's the best question. Somebody that felt really bad about How I Met Your Mother coming to an end.
He probably had made enough money from that show that he could just make this movie.
I don't know. Let's do the numbers, man. What was the budget for the movie?
It's not on Box Office Mojo. What's thenumbers.com?
I don't know.
Budget. No. Further financial details. Nope. You have to email them.
Oh.
This is interesting. Okay, so it made $300,000 domestic.
$300,000? That's it?
But this movie couldn't have cost a lot to make. I mean, it cost more than that. Thenumbers.com says it made $800,000 internationally, which almost entirely seems like shit. Like, that's total bullshit. Like, there's no way this plays anywhere but America. If you're translating this into other languages, I guess into French, there's nothing here.
This is the worst movie ever made in English, because it hasn't been translated into other languages yet.
Oh, God. The whole thing about movies doing well overseas is movies, like, that have huge action scenes. That it doesn't matter what they're saying, because people, like, millions of people in China will go see a movie just because it's got amazing action sequences.
No,
you
but
know
there
what I
was
mean?
A lot of good actors in this. Maybe it was just they were playing off star power.
There's not really star power, though. Just because you know them from another TV show. There's nobody here
people
with any real draw.
People love How I Met Your Mother, dude.
Here, but internationally?
I don't know. I think so.
This is really before, I mean, this is sort of at, like, Elizabeth Olsen I love, but she's never really been a star.
In anything.
Richard Jenkins I really like. The old dude, the professor who's retiring, I really like, but he's not a draw.
No.
And there's nobody else in this movie.
Yeah,
there's
enough.
Zeph, but, like, I can't imagine Zeph's in the trailer. Maybe he is.
I didn't watch the trailer.
I'm gonna watch the trailer. Let's watch the trailer right now. This could be a new sequence. Us watching the trailer for the movie on air.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right, click the play button in 3, 2, 1. All right, let's see here. The Liberal Arts official trailer HD
but your
on
essay
YouTube.
Was interesting. A spell check might be nice on these essays. Love those extra.
Okay, the same intro yet. We got from the movie.
No, things are.
Oh, that's supposed to be funny, but it's not funny.
It's not funny.
Jesse Fisher.
It's IFC Films. Okay, so that's it's like an independent release, which makes sense.
They're throwing me a retirement dinner thing.
When is it?
Weekend of the 25th. You know, check your schedule.
Okay.
Okay, they're making this out to be funnier than it is with the music and this.
I'll be there.
Sundance Film Festival? What the fuck?
Well, it just means it got into it. Doesn't mean it like won any awards.
Yeah.
She was like the best teacher I had here.
Allison Janney.
She was like the second best teacher I had here.
Yeah, dude, they cut the entire jokes from the beginning.
Hey. She's a sophomore.
Introduction to the love story.
By the way, it's creepy that they walk behind the parents in that scene. Like, that's instant giveaway that it's really
the
creepy.
Best movie about college I've seen since I don't know what is a pull quote for this trailer. But yeah, it is creepy that they're walking behind. Like, why are you kids walking behind us? Oh yeah, the pull the tie off maneuver.
Did you think this was like a romantic thing?
Oh, they're pitching this as a comedy, dude. The whole thing seems like it's like supposed to be funny.
I just can't figure out if it's because you're advanced or because I'm stunned.
And it seems like there's no Zeph yet. How far into this are we? We're a minute and a half
30.
In.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know.
Nobody feels like an adult.
Now it's getting that aimless sort of wandery type.
It's like.
Well, it bothers me.
My advice to you is put some armor around that gooey little.
There she is.
It's a running joke between us that, like, every time Alice and Janie comes up in conversation or on TV, Rachel's mom reminds me that that's her cousin. So, like, anytime I see Alice and Janie, I'm like, oh, that's your cousin. Like, it's like the first time she heard it, you know?
And then you do get out and life happens.
So you're
this
I
sucks.
Prepare myself for succubus?
There's no Zeph in this at all.
No, absolutely not. Maybe we should have watched the trailer.
Well, no, because I mean, I would have been more excited and would have been more let down by it. I kind of like not knowing anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I wonder, like, in movies like New Year's Eve, if he's in the trailer, because that has so many people. Like, we're doing that next. And also, I do want to say, I think we're going to put that one out on New Year's Eve instead of New Year's Day, because in case you want to, you know, spend the
get
night
into
in
the
and
mood.
Watch a movie. If you want to, okay. So nobody sent us fan mail yet, which, shame on
it's
all
obvious.
Of you.
It's obvious that nobody's listening to this.
It's obvious that nobody's listening, but send us email. The ultimate
to dickpics@joey.com, right?
Mm-mm. The ultimate
what's
fantasy.
The email? What's
Zach
the email address?
ZachAttack@cageclub.me.
Thank you.
The ultimate fantasy would be a world where people don't go out on New Year's Eve and instead, with their loved one, watch New Year's Eve and then listen to our podcast.
The Zach Attack New Year's Eve podcast. Yes.
Ring in the new year. Okay, here's what we're going to do on that podcast. We're going to do a countdown.
A midnight countdown, and it'll end at midnight, and we'll tell you when to start it. Oh, we'll figure it out.
We're going to set a clock for 5 minutes, and we're going to say, okay, put this on, you know, have this part queued up when there's 5 minutes left, and we're going to, you know, do something. We'll bring in the new year. That's a great idea.
Okay, I love it. Yeah, I'm down to do that for the next one.
Also, that's nobody's perfect. Listening, so it's totally fine. And people aren't going to listen on New Year's Eve.
Anyways, yeah, so I think that's why it's super appropriate to do it. And we should have our own New Year's countdown for the New Year's Eve movie.
And that means that you and me get two New Year's Eves next month because we get the real one, and then we get the one that we create for New Year's Eve
that
in the podcast.
That won't be on New Year's Eve, yes. Dude, I'm stoked.
This podcast is going places. Like, we have new segments.
Can we get Zack Attack New Year's Eve hats and stuff?
I wonder. Like, just...
Zeph,
I mean, we could
glasses.
Probably, we
could they say, like...
A custom one.
They say, like, 20 Zeph or something, you know? Like, instead...
20 Zephantine?
Zephantine again.
Zephantine again. Yes. There we go. Zephantine again. New podcast name. No longer Zack Attack. It's Zephantine again.
Zephantine again.
But only next year.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So, yeah, we now have new segments. We have... So, here's a rundown. I like how it took us, like, 11 or 12 episodes to figure out, like, what we're doing. But we're settling in.
We're just making fun games as we go, dude. I like it. Go ahead.
We got the trailer game now. We have the predict what Zeph's role is going to be in the next movie.
By the way, we need to do it for New Year's Eve. I'm ready when you are.
Let's... Okay, so obviously he's going to be...
It? Did we already say it? I feel like I already said mine for New Year's Eve.
I feel like if you started it, I would have yelled at you to stop. I don't remember hearing it.
Okay, well, I definitely have a mental image in my head and of how the New Year's Eve one's going to go.
Okay, what's your... Because we all know what the movie basically is. It's just a bunch of people whose lives are intersecting with each other on New Year's Eve. We know what that is. So what is your... Oh, I think I did. I described mine, too. What's yours?
Mine was like Zeph somehow gets caught outside shirtless and has a huge woman's fur coat on because it's cold. And
was that yours or was that mine?
I thought that was mine.
I thought that was mine, too. Maybe that's our collective one.
I don't know. Who knows?
He's shivering outside.
Yeah.
He loses his shirt, and some woman, like an older woman, right, gives him his fur coat.
Yeah, that might
have
been
yours.
Maybe
that's just our collective vision. I think that might have been mine.
And I threw in the fur coat part. Makes sense.
Let's come up with the second one. So we have that as one option. And then I also want to look up a list of the actresses in the movie. I want to see who we think he's going to be paired
with. I got
a
really poignant one.
Okay, what's the poignant one?
This one's going to be New Year's Eve.
Okay.
They're all in a swanky New York apartment.
Okay.
Zeph's there, gets wine on his shirt, goes to the bathroom to clean it, and takes it off.
Ooh. And then somebody walk in on him shirtless on the
bathroom? No, he's just staring in the mirror, like, you know, trying to clean the shirt off. Somebody yells through the bathroom door.
Okay, so his character name in this movie is Paul Resolution Tour. Oh, okay,
what?
So I know who's in his story with him. Do you want to know who's in the story with him, or do you want to keep it a secret?
No, tell me.
There's four people I don't know, but the main person I know that's in it with him is Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, damn.
So we were right, older woman.
Older woman, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yep. And then this woman, Charlotte Marshall Fricker, who I don't know. What have you been in? She's most known for New Year's Eve and The Princess Diaries. All right.
Okay.
There's a woman called Fiona Choi, who I don't know, who's best known for being a reporter on Homeland, which means you probably didn't have much to do.
No.
Someone without an IMDb picture, and then someone named, two other guys. From the looks of it...
Zeph and Michelle Pfeiffer.
They're the top build, which means to me, in this movie, they're going to be the first story.
Okay.
So we might be watching a movie that's 2 hours long... That
and
we only see in the first
cared
10 minutes.
For the first, about the first, kind of like this movie. This was like an hour and a half, but we only really cared about 8 minutes of it that we could have just cropped together ourselves.
Here's an idea. So our New Year's countdown, if Zeph is in the first 10 minutes and never shows up again, we'll find out when we watch the movie. Our countdown on New Year's Eve is we could just play the movie.
Yes.
And do a commentary over it, and then when his scene ends, that's
start
midnight.
Start the Zack Attack, that's midnight, countdown. Boom, nailed it. Love
like, here's
it.
Your 10-minute, 31-second countdown to midnight.
Perfect.
All right. I hope we remember.
We have to put an announcement. We have to put an announcement that says, please start this podcast 10 minutes and 32 seconds before midnight exactly so you can count down with us.
Well, really, you would have to start it, like, if the podcast is 40 minutes long, you want to start it at 11:20, and then the last 11 minutes or whatever will be the countdown to Happy New Year. I don't know how it's going to work. We'll figure it out.
It's going to be great. We're going to do some more math, off-air math, and we'll figure this out.
Cool. What other notes do I have about this movie?
I had another question for you, too.
Oh, Zeph plays matchmaker. Zeph is the one. He's kind of the most important person in this movie because he sets up Ted Mosby and Elizabeth Olsen.
He does.
That at the party, he's just like, hey, you two like things or whatever. I don't remember. He just introduces
coffee.
Them.
Do you drink coffee? He drinks coffee.
And then he's like, yo, you want to get it at 9:30? And she laughs because she's a millennial. Like, there's no way that she's going to be up at 9:30. Like, yeah, movie. Just die. Just die.
Literally will never be awake at 9:30. Okay, my normal question. Do you think Zeph banged Elizabeth Olsen in this movie?
I feel like he was on set for, like, 3 days. I know that's enough time.
The power of Zeph, he could have banged Elizabeth Olsen in that time.
I just feel like she was too busy with things that weren't Zeph.
Probably.
I feel like the whole thing with indie movies, this movie especially, is they probably shot it quickly because A, they didn't have much money. B, everything pretty much takes place in one location. Like, it's all at a college. Everything was right there. Everything they probably did quickly.
Yeah, he had like 1 day in New York, probably like 2 days in this college, and that was the movie.
I don't think that there's going to be a lot of downtime for them to sort of like mess around off camera because I feel like everybody's just there ready for action.
Okay.
Not sex action, but just like action.
I still have faith in Zeph. He did it. In my head, he did.
He has a lot of great lines. Like, he tries to guess Ted Mosby's name. He's like, is your name Ethan?
That was awesome. That was really awesome.
How awesome would it be if your name was Ethan?
I have a funny story about that. I was out once when we were in college. We were at this, like, bar. My friend was there, and he was like, my name's Cam. And this dude looks at him and goes, Cam Peterson. And he goes, how the fuck do you know my last name? And he was like, oh, I just made that up. And he was dead on. He was absolutely right. The dude almost shit himself after he realized he got it
right. That's amazing.
He called his last name. Great. Yeah, he just looked at him and went, Cam Peterson, and just nailed it. And me, like, he was like, no, it's not. And he's like, yeah, that's really my name. And he had, like, pull out his driver's license. They were both really confused. They thought that I was somehow involved in, like, a weird complex joke that neither of them got. And I was like, no, dude. You just guessed
I've
his last
had
name.
Things like that, not to that extent, but I've met people that I've seen on Facebook, and so I'll see a name, like a first name, and I'll be like, oh, like, okay, like, I finally sort of put that together, but this sounds like it's just like a meeting of strangers.
Oh,
like,
yeah, these people had no idea who each other were. Like, whew. Cam, like, was from my school and grew up in, like, a different part of the state or a different state, and this kid was, like, Pittsburgh native. They had never ran into each other. They were like 5 years difference in age.
It's kind of amazing.
It is. Cam Peterson died though, so God rest his soul.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Cam Peterson. Oh, also on that, this is a terrible segue, but on that note, no, I mean, dude, I liked Cam. I'm sad about it, but I just remembered something.
Okay.
The kid that looked like he was going to kill himself in the movie looked like Squirrel, and I thought he was going to...
He did look like Squirrel.
Yeah, I know, and I really thought that when I recognized him first, I knew he was the dude from Orange is the New Black, but I also thought it might have been Squirrel and I deceived myself.
So what's annoying, what's frustrating about his character is that he's reading Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace, and David Foster Wallace famously killed himself.
Yeah.
It's so on the nose that Josh Radner, Ted Mosby, is just like, look how smart I am putting this into my movie. Like, this kid is reading this book about whatever by an author who killed himself, and now he's going to try to kill himself.
Yeah, look how edgy. Foreshadowing, you didn't get that.
And what's really annoying about that part is that it seems like that's in the movie just so that Ted Mosby can get over his fear of flying, which has no bearing on anything other than that one conversation he had with this kid.
Oh,
early
by
in the
way,
movie.
I totally forgot that he had a fear of flying.
And you literally just watched this movie. Like, it's so insignificant
to
everything.
Yeah, it was so insignificant. That was like this, like, weird tie-in that, nope, I totally, yeah.
Well, there's no need for it.
No, that was absolutely useless. Yeah, he was like, I flew in your dick, and I thought he was just saying, like, oh, you made me pay money for a plane ticket, asshole. Not like, I'm scared of flying.
Well, like, if they had a through line where it was sort of comparing flying as a metaphor for relationships, cool, like, that would work. But the only mention it one time in the beginning,
that
and
I totally missed.
End.
Yeah, I totally missed that. I mean, I remember both parts of it, but I didn't connect them.
Oh, God. It's just stupid. It is stupid.
Yes.
Zeph also delivers the most poignant. I think we used poignant before for some other thing. I don't remember what it was.
I said poignant.
What was your poignant moment?
The most poignant description of how Zeph will be shirtless or something.
But he has this moment in this movie where he has, like, the best advice about how caterpillars, like, their insides are changing. And
yeah,
they're fighting their bodies, and then they just become a cocoon. And then he's like, you know what happens next? And Ted Mosby's like, yeah, they become a butterfly. He's like, how'd you know that? Like,
no, he goes, no. He comes in total zeph and goes, they become a butterfly. And says it, like, real serious over him. Dude, Zeph is the best part of this movie.
But it's exactly what Ted Mosby needs to hear, because he's like, I like you, Nat. Thanks for being my friend. And Zeph says, easiest thing in the world. And then he just leaves. And, like, he's basically gone. Like, he just disappears into the night, never to return again in the movie. He might not even be real. Like, aside from the fact that he was at the party with people, there's, like, a possibility that he's almost entirely, like, a fictional creation.
Are we talking about, like, what the fuck this dude is doing at the college, like, on two separate random-ass weekends, just, like, visiting his friend without his friend outside in the middle of the night?
You're talking about Ted Mosby or Zeph?
Zeph.
I feel like Zeph is just like one of those dudes that we were talking about earlier who just never left that scene and just sort of hangs around. He's Teddy. I mean, he is Teddy, who, you know,
he's
graduated
Teddy,
college.
Yeah, he's like freshman Teddy, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
he just,
that's
he's
right.
never, he has got a college mindset forever and ever.
No, you think he's older? You think he's already out of college and he's visiting someone back? No, I think that this kid is like that kid that is kind of in college, but doesn't really go and just hangs out somewhere else somewhere.
Oh, okay.
He's visiting his friend. He doesn't actually go to this college. He just happens to, like, every weekend be at this random liberal arts college. Like,
sort of the casual observer, they think he goes there, but he doesn't actually go there.
Yeah.
Okay. I had friends like that. It was weird, but, like, they just sort of, you just sort of accept it as part of the norm.
Yeah, like, they don't like their school, so they just kind of hang out there.
Because it doesn't look like he has friends. It's just, he's just by himself.
Yeah, with Ted Mosby. You look like an Ethan.
I don't think I have anything else to say about this movie. Don't watch it. Just watch that 8-minute YouTube video.
Yeah, we should link that somewhere, like, in the website on Cage Club. We should just link the clipped one. One last thought that I had was I was really hoping, like, the movie started out kind of, like, shitty, whatever, and I was really hoping when I started writing letters that she was going to send him nude Polaroids. Because she was like, it feels like the 17th century. And I thought she was going to drop some nude Polaroids in there. And I was like, sick. But that didn't happen. That's the only note that I had left. I was just wishful thinking that Elizabeth Olsen would send nude Polaroids to Ted Mosby.
Well, considering how, like, uptight... This is getting off on a real weird, almost completely unrelated tangent. But do you remember the weird internet obsession with, like, counting down to the Olsen twins' 18th birthday?
I don't remember that. I remember the Hermione one. The Emma Watson one.
Okay, so before that, it's the same thing. It's just, like, a bunch of creepy guys who, I guess...
Like, 30-year-old neckbeards.
Had crushes on her from Full House, because, like, or from,
which
on
is
them
very
from Full
creepy.
House, because,
okay.
Which is super, super creepy.
See, this plays into the Ted Mosby's a pedophile thing. He probably had this boner for Full House when he was, like, 20, and then wrote this fucking weirdo pedophile love story and just cast the Olsen sister in it to just
hardest
live it out.
Of passes. So anyway, there's this whole, like, creepy countdown to, like, when they were 18. Like, it was like they were waiting to turn 18 to pose nude. And that was never in the cards, because they were, like, a very clearly, like, specifically manufactured public icon. Like, they did the Full House movie, they did Full House, and then they did their Mary-Kate and Ashley movies, and then they had their clothing line, and then they sort of, like, disappeared
now
into
nothingness.
Now
they're adults. No, they're, like, big fashion moguls now.
Well, they went away for a while, and then sort of came back.
Yeah, like, from, like, 18 to, like, 26 or something,
Considering how reserved and carefully selected their career path has been, Elizabeth Olsen, I mean, this movie, I guess, kind of as an example, but she's made some really interesting, daring is too strong of a word, but she's been in a lot of really kind of edgy movies. Like, she was in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, which is a cult movie, which is great. She was in Silent House, which is a horror movie that's just all one shot. She's been in a couple other things that I really, really like her in, but the whole roundabout way of getting back to this is that you said you wish that she sent nude Polaroids. She's been naked in a bunch of other movies.
Oh, damn, really?
Yeah, and so...
Well, guess what I'm Googling later.
There you go. It's just weird to see her, because, I mean, that's not an impossibility for this, or, like, an impossibility for this movie, because she's done
it.
It
would have made
before.
It really creepy.
It's just, well, it would have made it extra creepy, which I guess it's not the vibe they're intending, it's just the vibe that they're
getting. We got, it's the vibe that we got, not the intention.
But it's just weird how she's almost going against her older sister's image. You know what I mean? Like, they were this
she's
very carefully parent-approved whatever, and she is... Like, she's not going crazy like a Lindsay Lohan, but she's not afraid to go
be
a little
risque.
Bit more out there and be a little bit more art house or indie or whatever.
Yeah. I get it.
And I love her in other movies. It's just this movie, oh god, it's there's nothing going on here.
Nope. Definitely not.
She's also she's Scarlet Witch in the new Avengers movies.
Haven't seen them.
What else has she been in? She was in I Saw the Light, which I haven't seen, which is that Hank Williams, I think, movie with Tom Hiddleston, Loki.
Nope. Nope.
She was in the new Godzilla movie.
Nope.
She was in the remake of Old Boy, which is trash.
No, I like the original one. I didn't want to bastardize it with the new one. With the
she was
version.
In Very Good Girls with her and, I want to say, Dakota Fanning. Yes, which I liked, I think. Have I seen her in anything else? She was in Kill Your Darlings, which is, we mentioned earlier on the road, the Kristen Stewart Beat movie. Kill Your Darlings is another Beat Poets movie. She's only been in 21 things, including stuff that's not out yet, and I've seen most of them, so I really like her. She just, this movie is
she was
not
actually
a
not a bad actress in this movie. It was just like, the movie sucked. And it
it's,
was cheesy.
Yeah, it's just not
it
good.
Was cheesy, it was predictable. Ted Mosby should not write another movie, and I hope he doesn't.
I wonder if he has.
Check. I doubt it.
Do you think he has?
Doubt it.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, okay. He wrote and directed another movie that I've heard of but I haven't seen. It's called Happy Thank You More Please, which is all just one word. It's with, oh wow, Malla Ackerman, who I really like. It's with Tony Hale, Buster from Arrested Development.
Oh, Buster's great.
It's with Richard Jenkins again, the old guy from this movie. It's with Zoe Kazan, who I really like. Kate Mara, who is, spoiler alert, from the first season of House of Cards, the one that Frank Underwood kills, the reporter.
Oh, yes.
There's
Zoe
a
Barnes.
Lot of people in this movie that I like, but yeah. It's the log line is, captures a generational moment. Young people on the cusp of truly growing up, tired of the reflexive cynicism, each in their own ways struggling to connect and define what it means to love and be loved. It basically sounds like this movie.
Yeah.
Just about more people instead of just one person.
Yeah. I promise I will never try to see that movie.
That Ted came Mosby, out first.
Yeah, Ted Mosby rubbed me the wrong way. No way for me.
And he's also in that. He might be the star of that movie, too. So he writes movies for himself with other really cute, popular young actresses that I like. And I guess gets to make out with them. I mean, it's not a bad life to have.
No. I think if I was 30 and creepy, I would do that, too.
Well, you got a couple more years, and then you can start doing that.
Yeah, I'll just tell Rachel I'm going to be a screenwriter. I don't want to make out with young girls. Stop.
I have to. It's
like
calling.
It's my art. It's my art.
It's who I am.
Yeah.
So any last thoughts about liberal arts? You think we're good?
No. Everybody don't watch it. Watch Zeffinet and skip this movie.
I'll embed the 8-minute YouTube video on cageclub.me.
Awesome.
You can just go there. Or just, if you're listening to this through iTunes, just YouTube. I think you just YouTube, like, liberal arts Zac Efron. And one of the top things is Zac Efron scenes in liberal arts. And it's like 8.5 minutes. And just do it and then skip this movie.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's just bland and just there's nothing here exciting.
Yep, agreed.
So for all things Zach Attack, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub. You can see all the episodes that we've done already. You can find other shows on the network. We're right now in the middle, toward the end of all his movies, which we're putting out one a day. It's all Shia LaBeouf movies. And so we're right now at the very end of it, or I guess the beginning of his career, because like Zach Attack, we're going from new to old. We're in the early 2000s or so right now. And so we're seeing sort of baby young Shia.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it's a phase that we're going to see for Zeph sometime next year during 2017. Zephantine again.
Zephantine again.
So go listen to other things on the network. It's all free. We just had, as we're recording this, we just had our 150th episode milestone. So by the time this comes out, we'll be up to like 175-ish,
damn.
Maybe?
Nice.
I know, because just Shia is just boosting these numbers.
Yeah.
But lots of fun, free things for you to listen to, us babbling about movies and music and stuff like that. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next time on Zach Attack.